Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, tennis fans from around the globe. The following program is a presentation of the Yellow Ball Network.
Are we on?
Yep, we're on.
All right, let's go.
Broadcasting live from the Tennis Dynamics Studio in downtown Marietta, Georgia, this is the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Your host for the show this week is J.P. Weber.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the show. This is the March 24th edition of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show, and I got a special treat for you this week. We're going to do a roundtable discussion. We had it back at the seminar with Chuck Creasy. We had a roundtable discussion with some high school coaches, and it was a fairly interesting discussion, so I saved it, and you'll be able to listen. If you want to listen in, each week we try to come on around Tuesday. Sometimes we'll make adjustments due to people's schedule and things of that nature, but we'd love to hear from you. Call us on the Yellow Ball hotline number. That's 646-652-4856. We're on noon every Tuesday, and if you can't listen to us, you can go to iTunes and download the show on iTunes. So we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, you'll be treated to a roundtable discussion.
Hey, come play the Marietta Grand Prix. It's a lot of fun. You get to play a lot of tennis, and we have Chick-fil-A sandwiches from Chick-fil-A. And you get to eat a lot. And if you can, you can play doubles with your friends or with your dad or your mom.
Hey, folks, this is J.P. Weber. Take it from the kid. The 2015 Handmade Charlotte Marietta Grand Prix Series of Tournaments is a great way to spend the day with the family playing tennis. To find out more, go to www.tennisdynamics.net. That's tennisdynamics.net, where you can call us at the Laurel Park Tennis Center at 770-919-8602.
Hi, coaches and players. If you play on a tennis court in the Southeast, you've probably played on a tennis court designed, constructed, lighted, or resurfaced by courtmakers.com. Marshall Dye and the guys at Courtmakers will work on any type of court. From my experience with them, they work in a professional manner, they show up on time like they say they will, and they never leave a mess. Courtmakers can provide for all equipment needs. Call them at 770-795-8400. 770-795-8400. That's courtmakers.com.
Hi, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. I take great pride in calling it the way it is. It's a meat and potato principle of coaching that no one really cares what you know unless they know that you care. As a parent also, I want this and very skilled hands working with my youngster. Coach J.P. Weber's 30 years of experience speaks for itself. Go see him at Laurel Park in Marietta, Georgia. His website is TennisDynamics.net. TennisDynamics.net.
Okay, we're back. So what we've got on for you today, it's a roundtable discussion. Chuck Creasy's there. Chuck Creasy's moderating it along with myself. And we're discussing at his deal over the new technology. We got new technology, phones ringing everywhere here. Staff, I don't have any staff around me here to handle that. Staff? Where'd the staff go? Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Now, I think everything's normal now. It should be okay. All right. So, anyway, roundtable discussion. We pick it up with Coach Creasy leading about. And this was after it was all over, and these guys stayed and wanted to participate in this discussion. And we'll pick it up with Coach Creasy.
So, we're all coaches, and as we talk, I would like to go deeper than just cliches and facts. I'd like to go to opinions, feelings, and needs, because there's the meat that we really need. Otherwise, it's fluff and stuff, and you know, and it's not things that will help in the long run. We all would like to develop relationships that are deeper than cliches and facts. But I've come up with this five level of categories. Many years ago, I heard a talk that say that these are the five levels of relationships. I think it was a tennis conference. I wish I could give credit to who it was, but I've always remembered this. But we greet everybody every day with a cliche. What's going on? Not much. How are you? Fine. Nice day, isn't it? Yes, it is. Oh, you look nice. Nice haircut. Or nice haircut actually would be a fact. It's more than just a cliche. A fact is, hey, the ball game, we won 21-12. Now, we go deeper than that. We say, gosh, they should have thrown the ball more yesterday, shouldn't they? They should. Well, our defense wasn't very good. And politically, I don't like this or I like that. Now we're going opinions. That's deeper. So we go from cliches to facts to opinions. Feelings. You're very upset today. There's something going on you're not talking about here. What is going on? You want to talk about it? You really don't. Okay, I got to protect that. Then needs, of course, only your loved ones take care of. If you know, when you're in a really tough spot or ups and downs of life, you know, you really find out who your friends are, we say. So I would like to go past just cliches and facts and give the generic answers. Like we say, it's more than doing it right. We need right things here. So with that, I'd like to open that up with that, and then maybe we could go around and ask questions, and everybody chime in and talk about what you really believe and what you really think. And it has nothing to do with right or wrong. It just has to do with your gut on things, you know. So anybody want to start? Coach, you any?
Well, one of the things I've learned is, I think here is just as in the whole three-pronged approach to being a tennis coach and a tennis athlete, and that is look for the physical, look for the emotional, look for lots of different things. In other words, you break it apart and then you put it together, and that can make for success in coaching tennis. And I think a lot of the principles we talked about in this conference basically are principles that you could use in any sport, or you, for that matter, you could use in life.
The connection, I know all of you have thought of this as you're working with people. Is there any reason you think we only go to the physical first? Any thoughts there?
Tradition. It's what, hey, you know, you read a book about Bear Bryant killing him in Texas somewhere. You see a movie about Coach, you know, Lombardi doing this or that. You don't see the back side of everything he did. You know, it's more easy to criticize, you know, a program or a coach that does something. Your stuff was criticized heavily by people that didn't.
Well, it's only because what they didn't see. Yeah. The point is, it's what you see. You see the physical.
Right.
Well, I think it's the backbone of every sport. If you're not physically fit, then you're not going to be able to compete at the level, especially as you go up the ladder. So we have to start with the physical.
Okay, I missed the direction you were heading. Well, I mean, that makes sense to me, too. What you're saying makes good sense.
And that job becomes more and more difficult because kids these days are not as physically fit as they were 10 years ago or 15 or 30 years ago.
We're not allowed to challenge them.
We'll talk about that. What can we do? That's obviously a problem that our kids are not athletes, acting like athletes, right? They're not running around outside. They don't grab a ball and about hit the back door. How can we address this?
Well, you know, I'm fairly new to the area, and one of the things that I live in an apartment complex is a lot of kids, and knowing, you know, that the obesity rate is so much higher now and so on. So I decided that I was going to start teaching tennis with a couple of tennis courts there. Two things. I charged a minimal fee, something like $20 for 4 weeks, which is unheard of. But I couldn't get parents to sign their kids up for that. Save my life. Then when I finally decided I was going to do it free and I had a couple of kids, the apartment complex said I couldn't do it because it was, you know, we talk about doing the right thing versus doing things right. Well, I believe that was the right thing to do, was to, you see a need in your community and you try and fill that need. But the apartment manager said, oh, you have to go to corporate. Then corporate turned the whole thing down because they said there were liability issues. I put disclaimers on the application so that there weren't any liabilities to the apartment complex, so it never went anywhere. So I don't know. That's just we have to do something about that. I think doing the right thing versus doing things right is what is missing. There's very little leadership that I see in some of these positions that we talked about earlier.
Well, there's invasive leadership. I mean, you know, everybody's scared to do the right. I mean, everybody's scared to do certain things. I mean, you got this Georgia High School Association that I've sort of tried to talk with, things of that nature. It's a little, they're overpowering in a lot of ways. I have to deal with the USGA. I mean, when we run tournaments, everybody says, well, you can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. Like, as if it had never been done before. Millions of times without any, you know, for example, playing on a hot day or playing four matches a day or all these things as if it had never happened before and nobody's ever died. You know, and you can't lie, you can't write a waiver out of it. So all these things, we're afraid of stuff that, and the people that are leading us in a way or aren't, they're the people that are real good at the
doing things right.
Doing things right, but they're not the leaders who would say, "Look, use some common sense here. It'll be okay." You know, we can't even play a. I don't know about how it works for y'all, but we can't even play on a day. You know, if it rained, they had a. You know, this from a couple of years ago. It rained for a national championship. So for the national championship, they flipped the coin. Heads or tails, and if it was heads, this guy won, the other guy won. Now, all they had to do was wait one more day and go the next day, but they weren't sanctioned to play the next day. I mean, how absurd. But we're afraid of all these things. It's, you know.
Well, again, we're aware, we're becoming more and more aware of these, and we're even putting these into a category. Right things versus doing the right, doing it right versus doing the right things. But as I talk to so many coaches, we need to do something, okay, about it. A squeaky wheel gets the oil. If it squeaks too loud, it gets removed. All that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing or good women to do nothing. Edmund Burke. We are fast approaching that situation because we have real problems. In tennis, we have real problems. In other sports, we have real problems. Even football, there's big controversials right now with all the new rules coming in. 2 weeks ago, Clemson played South Carolina, and this kid went over and headbutted the quarterback a little bit. He got thrown out for a game, and it was ridiculous. One of the professional players said, send out the flags. Let's go to flag football. You know, I mean, that's where we're at. And the point, and we don't let kids fight on the playgrounds, which is very, very necessary for boys. Man, nobody ever gets hurt. Nobody ever dies on the tennis court. When people get tired, they miss balls, and you lose. You lose quickly when you get tired. We have sports science coming in to try to write articles about what is right and wrong to do, and it's not practical. Now, we all know these things. We all are against participation trophies. You want to talk a minute about, don't you have a principal that's doing away with... Athletic director's doing what?
He's taking off with all the trophies, unless you're a state championship. All the trophies are being removed.
Out of the trophy case.
Yeah.
All the second place and participation trophies are being taken out of the trophy place. Now, there's a wide range of opinion about that.
Yeah.
Okay, from where to where?
Well, like even the parents said. But like he said, if you win, you know, we got trophies in there that people won, you know, sixth place in the peanut derby or something. So he said, you know, so we got our last email and he's putting them out on Tuesday, and if you don't claim them, they're
throwing them out. I love
it. So I went down and claimed some of them. So I have some in my room that are just, you know.
Does anybody else come from a different angle on that? I'm just kind of curious.
Well,
do you kind of like the hook trophies? You know, I think of them sometimes as hooks. You know, get them more involved.
There's different levels of competition, I think, and I would like. I have no problem with the state, but I also think like in our where we are, region trophies are important because it's important winning the region because the competition is pretty tough in a lot of places. So I think that's worth something. I do. I can understand where the principal's coming from, just state tournaments. But I also understand there's different levels. Now, I am opposed to the participation trophies. But I'm also, if a kid worked hard and if they attained a goal to win a region championship, might be really, really something, depending on the sport, depending on the time. And I've won 4 region championships, and every one of them been important, and I know what the work is. It's like winning, I guess it would be like winning the ACC. You know, when you win the ACC, that's one level of winning, but then if you win the national level, that's another level. But, you know, I take pride in winning those region championships because I know what the work means. I know what we've done to get those championships.
For our tournaments, we give out first through sixth. Now,
is that a mandate that you have to do that?
Yeah, it's required.
You're kidding.
No, it's required. We can't not do it. And if we don't do it...
Somebody gets a sixth.
They get a sixth. Now, you've got to convolute things to find the sixth in a tennis tournament. You know what I mean? You really got to work to find sixth. The true sixth. And you got to... You know what I mean? I don't think you can exactly find it. I mean, fifth, we knew... We assigned fifth, many years ago, we assigned fifth in the tournament. A lot of times you didn't get a trophy for it, but if you won the back draw, you finished fifth. I could see how third and fourth works, first and second. But sixth, you lost twice. And you're getting sixth.
The bigger thing in coaching is that losing is a very, very good motivational tool. It's probably the sharpest of all instruments to get kids to move forward. You know, and until you hate losing enough, you do not learn to win. A statement I've used for years is, you only win to the level that you cannot stand losing down to. When you dislike losing, you learn how to win. And this is the thing, if people are not in athletics, or they haven't been in athletics, or if they haven't coached, they don't understand it. Because our parents don't understand it either, because it seems irrational. But losing is supposed to win. So the first question to move on with this, though, is...
Can I ask one?
Yeah, go ahead.
On this. So the reasons they extend these many trophies is because they want to somehow increase participation.
Exactly.
And... So I'm wondering if you think that works that way. I'm kind of curious how people weigh on that.
No, participation does not breed excellence. Excellence will breed participation.
And then my other observation along these lines
And I'm curious, Coach, what you think, and everybody else. 15, 16, 17, and 18. By 15 years of age, the number of girls that play tennis goes, at least at our tournaments, goes way, way down. To the point that if you have 18 and unders, they never, I mean, we have 20 tournaments a year, and out of those 20 tournaments a year, the girls' 18s might have a draw, two. And then the boys, here's what we're seeing, and I'd love for you to come in. I'm seeing, and I've seen this from a fellow in South Carolina named Chuck Waldron. He's seen it as well. Boys now are making that same choice as the girls are. 15 years of age, you're seeing boys withdraw from tennis. They're not participating anymore.
Why is that?
I mean, I have my thoughts. I think one of them is you're drying up the scholarships. I differ with Mr. Roddick.
I think that's number one reason. The outer reason is you're drying up the scholarships, the international players.
Yeah, I differ with Mr. Roddick. I mean, I understand what he's saying. I also differ with Coach Creasy in the sense that I don't think we should mandate it. I'm not for the red, orange, and green mandate, and I'm not also for mandating the certain number of players.
And by the way, you changed my mind on that a lot.
Point being is it should be the choice of the coach. Now, the coach should choose, and he should be involved in the community. But what you had growing up as a tennis player, if you ever were doing it a whole lot and seeing it and participating and stuff, the landscape has changed so much. Your interaction with the kids has changed in terms of, you know, the importance of your...
I think the biggest difference is at the age of 15, they're having to choose. For instance, I have a varsity player who was good, who also plays volleyball, and her volleyball coach, just she likes both sports, okay, but volleyball is her love and she's good at tennis, but coaches are now making you choose. She's not trying out for tennis this year because she's playing club volleyball, and as soon as volleyball season's over, they send out the club volleyball stuff. And they kind of give that threat that if you don't play club volleyball, everybody does their own thing. If you don't play year-round, you aren't going to make my team. Whereas when we grew up, you went from football to basketball to baseball. You just played everything, and that was encouraged. But
were they looking for scholarships then? Why were they playing? I mean, why? In other words...
I mean, you like to play all sport. I mean, you play everything. Greeks play everything.
But there were opportunities. There were opportunities.
It didn't have anything to do with scholarships.
It didn't have anything.
Child,
you play. You play, and this is what's wrong. I'll tell you, this really gets me a lot because my son is a three sport letterman. He played three sports for 4 years lettered, and the idea is you don't have guys like that because. We're told football coaches tell the footballers you got to be practicing, you got to be doing football, you got to be lifting weights. Basketball tells basketball players you got to play basketball all year round. You've got to do these sports all year round. And that's not the – Bo Jackson, for example, played three sports. There are guys that play three sports that are exceptional. So I think just as an athlete, you ought to encourage kids to play as many sports as they possibly can want. You don't talk about scholarships. You don't talk about any of that thing. You talk about, and the kid will eventually find what they really love. That's my view.
Yeah, but we don't let them do, I mean, they don't do that anymore.
I know. But
yeah.
I'm bemoaning that fact.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And I think sometimes we lose that because Robbie Ginepri, and I know for a fact, Robbie lives close to us, and I know Robbie, and he was a baseball player until he was, you know, 10 or 11, and then he started playing tennis. But he could have been a baseball player. He could have been a track guy. He was a great basketball player. He could have done all three. Now, whether he would have obtained the level he obtained, I don't know. That's a good question. But I think a kid ought to be encouraged just to be an athlete.
Yeah, but they aren't anymore. So that's why you're losing them.
How have you seen things change in terms of?
Yeah, I think that's not by an absolute. I think that's people's decision. I think it's the way we're marketing things. I think it's up to parents to just say, hey, my child's going to play all the sports he can until they decide to do specialize. I hate the specialization mentality. You know, I mean, it's you take the. You can do a lot. Kids can do a lot. You know, it's really we needed to speak to the king and the queen and kids instead of the little boy and little girl.
As long as everyone keeps doing it, then they have to. Yeah. They want to make the varsity team.
Not necessarily.
Have you ever been to like that cheer academy place? I mean, they're practicing competitions. That you just
and
can't
shame
make
on
the
us.
Team.
We just marketed sports, didn't we? We used kids
yeah.
as commodities.
And marketing. That's what, I mean, people like on my team, I have five abbreviated A players, but they play tennis year, you know
year-round.
What I'm saying? They're year-round. That's all they do. They hardly even go to school.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, so that's the level of my team. So there's no way that you can only pick
yeah.
up a racket in spring. And just play for the fun of it. You used to good.
Right.
You used to play sports because you liked it. You know, you just changed sports with the season. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. And I bemoan that because I think we do lose some kids that could be great athletes. So, you know, maybe we ought to have high school sports to do it, encourage a lot of that, and then specialization maybe a little bit later. I don't know if that would work.
I don't think you can regulate it, though. I think it's just it's up to the parents and it's
yeah.
up to the kids.
Well, it was regulated 2 years ago. They said if you weren't in school full time, if you trained with a private coach prior to 1 o'clock, you couldn't play. You couldn't play on the high school.
Why? I mean, that doesn't make sense. We are against excellence. Wait a minute, you're a piano player. You can't have a private piano course.
It was
coach.
Well,
one.
Wait a minute. You
to be honest with you, here's what happened. South Georgia was getting, and this is the way it works in Georgia. South Georgia was getting beat in tennis, and they were just getting killed. And they had some pretty good teams down there. But they couldn't beat the Metro teams because the Metro teams were doing things like going to academies and leaving school early and that kind of thing. So instead of them trying to get up to speed, they tried to legislate their way into the
team. Wow. Well, that's not right.
Yeah, and that's the way it worked. And that's sad because that was a pathetic attempt by the Georgia High School Association to level the playing
field. To level the playing field. So you...
Yeah.
Now it's reverted now.
You dumbed down.
It's reverted now.
They're back to where they can play.
Yeah, and it should be. But think about how we, again, it gets back to the same thing. We regulate excellence to do things right instead of doing the right thing. Now, why are we not calling out to do the right thing? Think about how we are with doing things right. We all have an opinion. We all think we have the moral high ground there on doing things right. Why do we not stand up and talk about doing the right thing? And I know what answer I'm going to try. I'm just trying to pull it out of y'all. Why don't we?
Well, I think one of the things is that it's really difficult here with Georgia High School Association because they have their set of standards, and they're going, I mean, we as coaches have to just deal with those sets of standards. And, you know, it's tough, and they have tremendous power.
But why do we have so many standards? Why don't we just open it up and allow freedom?
I wish I could tell you.
I mean, that again, this is, it's crazy. We are dumbing down everything we do. United States is not number one economically anymore. We're in tennis. It's I mean we're not number one in tennis. We lost to Lithuania with the Dream Team basketball a few years back. We've got holes in our boat big time. But here's the point. Okay, go ahead, Coach. I'm gonna let you go.
Well, I don't. I think a lot. Some of it has to certainly do with. I think we as coaches, etc., have to bear the burden of some of that because we know what what the right thing to do, but you know, you bump a system and then all of a sudden maybe your livelihood is in jeopardy. And so if people aren't willing to take that risk anymore these days, I believe. Back in the day, I mean, I went back to the civil rights movement with Dr. King, for example. He knew that he ran the risk of dying because he wanted to bring about these changes that he felt were so crucial for our country and for African Americans and for society in general. And he ran the risk, and he knew he might be killed, and certainly he was. But then there was change as a result of that.
You could go to Martin Luther if you want to talk about religion.
Could,
what he did, he risked his life.
Mm-hmm.
Gandhi risked his life. Nelson Mandela risked his life.
And I think that, so we want change, I guess. Those of us who know that those things are wrong have to be willing to stand up as a organize as a unit or stand up to the, and take the risk that, you know, if this is worth, you will really feel strongly about this, and it's worth whatever the risk you might personally encounter.
I mean, it's important to some people. It's important to you, Coach Creasy, but for most people, it's a toilet paper issue. Lynn, does this get you really fired up to go out and try to butt the system? I mean, do you get fired up to butt the system about this stuff? I mean, you really think it's that important? No. Yeah, people look at it, it's not that bad. Look at you, you going to find it? No. I mean, they don't care. I mean, it's tennis is filled with a large portion of fairly apathetic people.
Well, I wouldn't call everybody here apathetic, and what you did.
No, I'm not.
He's not.
There's different levels. No, well, you know, I mean, come on, you know, they're not going to get involved.
It is a passionate endeavor. You know, people who have criticized me a lot now, oh, we thank you for your passion. Now, I've heard that 100 times probably in the past 2 years. Oh, we appreciate your passion, Coach Creasy. And I want to say, okay, is this the talking point when you're talking to me about this? I've heard it too many times. We appreciate your passion. Well, you know, it's a backhanded compliment, you know. It's really not. It's sort of like, listen, we're not listening to you anyway. And that's okay. But I don't think anybody, proof's in the pudding, I don't think anybody likes the direction of high school tennis. We have 350,000 participants. Only 23,000 or 7%, 7 out of 100 of your players play 4 tournaments or more a year. So we're breeding an after-school activity. It's an after-school activity. It's not a sport.
Can I make one clarification for you? Right, for everybody here, I just want to make sure y'all know this, and he may get mad at me here, but Coach is actually on the United States Tennis Association National Competitive Committee. So if you ever wanted to say something about tennis from a competition level, you get to talk to one of there's 20 people on the committee, and they set policy for a lot of what's going on. I mean, you try to. But so if you ever want to say something, you know, this is, I'd like, it's going to go out on the radio. We got a lot of listeners, so I'd love for y'all to speak up and know that you're talking, you know, in this fashion. And please speak your mind, man. Go ahead. I didn't mean to. Okay, we're here, roundtable discussion. Coach asked the question, what would it take
to have your participation athletes become more serious. We'll come back with that in just a few minutes. You're here on the ReCoach Tennis Radio Show.
Suddenly this crazy world made more sense to me. Well, I heard it today and I couldn't help but sing along. 'Cause every time I hear that song, and I go back to a two-tone short bed Chevy, driving my first.
I can't think of a better place to go than courtmakers.com for any of my court equipment needs. Any kind of equipment that you need for your club or facility. Windscreens, nets, net straps, benches, scoreboards. You can find all of this at courtmakers.com. Or like them on Facebook and see all the latest stuff that they're doing in court construction, resurfacing, and lighting. That's courtmakers.com, courtmakers.com.
Hi, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. All of you know that I take pride in calling it the way it is. And boy, oh boy, is it an exciting time in tennis. The 10 and under stuff, the juniors, the pros, and college. If you want to hear the cutting edge of the real stuff and not just the diluted and watered down fluff, folks, listen to Coach J.P. Weber on the We Coach Tennis program every Tuesday at noon Eastern Standard Time here on the Yellow Ball Network.
Could only be anybody's guess. And I was thinking that I probably didn't stand a chance, but I rolled up my sleeves, walked up, and I said, yeah, no, I don't know you, but I kind of like a shot.
All right, we're back. We're on the second part of the roundtable discussion, the high school coaches, and at the Laurel Park Tennis Center back in December of 2014. We pick it up again, trying to figure out how to get participation athletes to become a little bit more serious. Here we go.
And I'm not being cutting there, but there's a difference between participation and being and really
playing another sport.
See, this is the question I always wanted to ask: is does the U.S. what does the USTA try to help fund local tennis clubs and that kind of thing? Because if they did, they should be spending money in places where they haven't spent.
They
money.
Do. They do. They. Spend,
I don't know. If
they
that don't. Happens.
They. To be fair, they spend millions of dollars in different areas trying to get participation up. One of the things where they're missing the boat, though, and most people aren't aware of this, that 72% of all professional athletes are groomed in cities less than 50,000 people, in rural, not urban, communities. Okay? Now, there's a psychology to that, too. I believe kids in rural areas want to stand out. Urban areas, kids want to fit in. Now, I think tennis is a sport that allows somebody to get out of Dodge. You know, they get to travel the world and they get to do things. Tennis is not a cool sport in a urban environment until they really get into it, I would think.
And especially for boys.
Especially for boys.
You know, one of the things Major League Baseball is doing.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's a girly sport.
No, is it? Do y'all still fight that? I'm curious around the table here. You're from up in Rome. I'm just kind of curious. Is it still, because it's the furthest thing in my mind from a girly sport.
It's a girly sport.
Do you think it's Chris? I mean, would people that you know think
It's a girly sport. Do you find that? So people still universally look at it as a girly
sport. Right. And JP, look. At its base level, it is not. It is a, you know, you ladies say it. What is it?
Girly sport.
Okay, I don't know if I can say that. But the point is, at base level, once people get into it, it is the most ultimate athletic event possible. If you watch a Warrenko.
Civilized combat.
It's like middleweight boxing, like yeah. we've used so much. It's brilliant. It's most brilliant. Now, that is the reason. This has hit a big, big nerve for me. That is the reason why we should never dumb it down with the scoring system going to no ad, or the scoring system using 10-point tiebreakers, or the scoring system. Because when we dumb it down, we take a, what'd you call it, ladies? Can we say that louder? Okay, when we take what she said about it and we make it even more. Okay, there you go. And I think that's fantastic. I don't have to say that. But everybody knows that. Growing up, I had a basketball player, but I had to hide my racket. But it became cool after a certain level. All right? We do not get the prime athletes. Everybody knows that. We don't get it because of the prestige, lack of prestige of the sport. Might be our role models, might be the way we market it. But I've often said that we're creating another bowling. Everybody in this room is bowled, right? Raise your hand if you've been bowled. How many of you are bowlers? Anybody? It's amazing. Every time I've done this, five times now, probably 300 people, everybody raised their hand that had been bowling. Nobody is a bowler that does it two or three times a week. Okay, now, tennis, that's what we're doing. We're creating a participation sport, an after-school activity. So what are we doing? Why don't we separate those two and really just make people understand, look, we got an after-school activity here. Don't call it a sport. What'd you call it? You called it a something now. A what kind of a sport? Okay, don't call it, okay? Let's call it the way it is. But we have so much respect for the depth. It's chess. It is the ultimate physical sport, the mental sport, the emotional sport. But if we dumb it down with scoring systems and abbreviations and hokey pokey shows and Bullwinkle, the Bullwinkle system that they tried to do last year, the one ad, golly, what have we done? We have no chance. You're going to lose those people who really do care about it.
Are the formats in high school, are they abbreviated? In all matches?
Oh, my golly.
Is it really?
Not
for you guys?
Could I? I got to. Okay, here's what you do. I didn't bring that
What's
hand
a dual
out.
Match? What's a dual match?
JP, excuse me. Guys, I just did a presentation last week to USTA group. All right. I put 11 scoring systems down in order of what's the best for player development and for the better player to win. Playing a 10-point tiebreaker for the third set was number 7. Playing an 8-game pro set was number 10 as far as player development. Better number after full matches. I made the case we must play full matches for our kids to develop. And they'll appreciate the sport more. And better than a 10-point tiebreaker for the third set, but think about this. It'd be better to play the 10-point tiebreaker the first set. Then you have full set for the second, full set for the third. And the better player will prevail. And all the learning takes place in that final culminating set. Right now we have a sort of a sluggish start in a very unpredictable, random finish. If you played the tiebreaker the first, you would have a quick start and you would have a tough finish. The tougher player will win. Now that was number 5. Okay, number 3 was started 2-2 for the third set. That wouldn't be that terrible. No, how about let's start the first set at 2-2, second set full set, third set full set. That saves 10 to 15 minutes if it's just about time. But how about let's do what we've done for years and years and years. Let's honor the sport and play 2 out of 3 sets.
Well, it's about time now. The schools don't get out until 4 o'clock. kids aren't allowed them in school anymore based on principles. Like
so
my
how could
last
we?
Year, he never let us
have
lights. How
so
could
you don't have his lights? So.
Could we play on Saturdays?
That would make them to get it in. You'd have
you
to
would
play
lose
on
all
Saturday.
Your tournament players.
Yeah,
every one of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Yeah.
Okay.
I
so,
like the way to do it would be to play a tie break first set.
Full or, set second, full set third.
Yeah, that's a way to do it.
Okay.
That's flip-flop from what they do now.
Well,
I would rather just everybody have lights, and then you can play.
I agree.
Well, see, but in your situation, you've got 10 courts, and your situation
ten
is
courts
very...
courts and lights.
I know.
You're very
but
unusual.
Saying,
we're lucky to have lights because they go out about
all right,
half the time.
Let me tell you the harm. We've already said it's a whatever you said, okay? You want to say it? You want to say it?
Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to say it. I'll get in trouble. Okay, all right, good. I could go like a girl. All right, you've already said that. When you play a 10-point tiebreaker, you make it more of a... Okay. And the problem being with that is we have diluted, polluted, we delight, diluted, and polluted. I've made this point over and over that rites of passage for kids to get better, they only get better through winning tough, tough, long matches. And when your youngster, whether it's John Isner at Legg Mason Classic up in Washington, D.C., winning 7-5 in the third, 7-6 in the third, he got all the way to the finals, lost to Andy Roddick. That was his breakthrough event. But he did it with long and tough matches. With our kids, we're denying them those points and those rites of passage that happen from long and tough matches. All right. So how are they going to go forward? If they win a 10-point tiebreaker, it's not really anything that they know that they know that they know that they're tougher or a better player.
I don't think it's one of our choices, though. It is the lights. It's the fact we don't have lights. It's the fact that we play in February.
Right.
We're an outdoor sport, and we're playing in snow.
Would it be better if we played in the fall?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Now.
We would lose the football players and softball players and the volleyball players.
Now,
right now
states,
you lose the baseball players and the track athletes and.
In some states, they do play in the fall. And I know in Tennessee, they play.
In Texas, they do. Texas, they do. In Texas, they do team in the fall, individual all spring, and they turn out a lot of great players. In the fall, you have your best weather. In the fall, you do have football crowds sometimes, okay? In the fall, you could have your team sport in the fall. You have your abbreviated season if you want to for 2 months. Then you have individual tournaments in the spring. You unlock it and let your kids go out and play tournaments in the spring. Let them play tournaments. They'll go into the summer saying, hey, I'm ready to play summer events. Then they get ready for the fall season.
Well, let me explain the logic why that doesn't happen in Georgia. The logic is the football coaches all coach golf. So they like to get out for the golfing season. And when you got golf, you also have tennis. So those two will not be because the football coaches in Georgia will be coaching football in the fall, unfortunately. Because I think golf and tennis ought to be played in the fall.
Yeah.
I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it will be.
Well, I mean, those,
South Carolina and Florida.
Those are the things that really need to do to save our sport. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. We're not doing the job we need to do.
To fill out a lineup, let me go back to something. To fill out a lineup, we have a unique situation in our area, in the Atlanta area, Coach. I get a kid or I get a girl, and she stays recreational or she stays participation level too long, and she's lost in the crowd because
right.
because you've got within a 10-mile radius of here, there are 20 academies producing player after player after player. So this girl or this boy who doesn't get real serious soon enough, early enough, now he's lost. He's not going to make that lineup on the tennis team, so he's not going to go there. So I wanted to throw that out to you. You know, that's a special, unique situation here. But I also want to throw out something, and I'm just sort of curious at this.
We had on the show former head coach at LSU. His name was Jerry Simmons. He's on a mission. Now, Coach, you knew him. You competed against him. He had basketball players that he went and found and turned basketball players into tennis players. And you mentioned that you sort of alluded to it, the two-sport athletes, but I don't really notice that happening with the same amount of stuff. So I'm kind of curious, how could we – we got high school coaches here. I'd be very interested. Can we get kids who are playing basketball to become a little bit interested in tennis? You can go ahead.
Let me just ask a question real quick.
Okay.
Is tennis team sport, individual sport?
Individual.
Team or individual?
Individual.
Team. Individual or team sport? Tennis.
Individual.
All of us, except one, say it's an individual sport. Okay, and we did that like this without any prompting. Point being, we have marketed or tried to push it as a team sport with individual opportunities. Tennis is an individual sport with team opportunities. If we looked at it as an individual sport, to answer JP's question, I played tennis because I was a basketball player. I wanted to play an individual sport. I think you probably did the same, Coach. It's probably the same. It gives kid individual opportunity to stand out and to go forward. I think we have got lost in the paradigm of a team sport for tennis. This dual match lineup paralyzes kids. It does not allow them to go forward. It does not initiate enthusiasm, excitement, nor any ambition to improve, to just do this. We need more tournament.
Well, it's the only GHSA sport where you cannot win an individual award.
Really?
Oh, my golly.
Yeah, like they don't have all-state tennis. The
really?
Only GHSA.
Well, who wants to play that?
That you can't. And so that answers your question. So, like with some of my academy players, I tell them, I understand they're and used to. Like my daughter played golf. Her team was bad, but she qualified as an individual to go to the state. Tennis is the only GHSA sport where there is no individual. So you can't.
I would not have thought that.
Yeah, there's not. They don't have an all-state team. They don't have.
They don't want anybody to stand out.
Well,
they want everybody to fit in.
That's true. And the only way they do, they get any recognition is the papers.
Yeah,
Atlanta
papers.
The Marietta Daily picks a team.
But that's what I'm saying. Like the Cherokee Ledger picks the team. But that, you know, for kids that are.
Yeah, that's
not the same as a kid who gets all state honors.
Correct. We used to have a tournament in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
That you would have number one players and so forth. They had a high school tournament. You had number ones versus number ones.
Now, we still have a fairly robust fall here, right, in terms of tournament play? You guys hold one, don't you?
In the fall?
Is it not in the fall?
Are we not allowed
to do any tournaments in the fall?
No,
are y'all not allowed to do anything?
Yeah,
look.
They're not allowed, Coach.
The short answer is, as college goes, high school and juniors will go. This is why we're fighting so hard in college. We need split seasons in college. Coach Randy Blumendahl's proposal was the best I have ever seen. We need team tennis in the fall. 8 weeks, September and October, you piggyback football weekends. You play Friday night, Sunday afternoon, without every format you want. From the end of November, the rest of the year is individual opportunities. You set up a Grand Slam of college tennis. You set up the Georgia Grand Slam event, one on clay, one indoors, one on hard, state championship. Those four tournaments right there, you build satellites around those. You let kids play individual tournaments for the high school league. Everybody would play. That'd be the best amateur circuit. That'd be an unbelievable circuit. You know, that's the way it should look. That's the way it should look.
I
so
think you should host, JP, the first Georgia High School Grand Slam.
I'd be happy to do something like that. I like the idea of it.
Yeah. That's how
it would have to be fall. It would have to be
fall.
So
you get a clay court.
But you couldn't. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you can't come out and coach. Nobody can come out and coach.
But no. Here's what you
do. We need to make it real.
No, wait. Okay, this is the way you address this. Okay?
You address it by making it two sports. Athletic directors would love it. It's the same amount of people. You get two sports instead of one, and everybody's happy. You know, so what you do is you allow the team competition in the fall. That's team tennis. And just like cross country is different than indoor track is different than outdoor track, three sports, same amount of people. ADs love that. ADs would love this if you had two sports out of tennis. And guess what? Individual season, hey, Joe, you're number one in the South. And guess what? Just do your 8 weeks with the team. Way to go. Thank you. You're done. Please play in our individual tournaments if you can. Let them play. Let them not play. They don't have to play if they don't want to. They can play USTA or anything they want. You know, because they're individual tournaments. People want to be challenged in individual tournaments. That's the way you address it. But we need to do this in college first, because everybody thinks the college system has some great wisdom behind it. It doesn't. It has an agenda of pushing forward now. There's no ad scoring, and when it pushes it forward, it's going to go down to junior level, high school level. We're done. Tennis will be done if we go there.
Let me ask a question. We have in Georgia 1, 2, and 3 singles, and then 1 and 2 doubles. Now, that's not the format of college.
Simultaneous format?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 5 points. We have. Now, Tennessee has adopted a more college-like format. It's six. Is it six?
Six and three. That's awesome.
So I'd like to see Georgia.
I don't see how they finish it. When y'all talk about getting out late, it's got to be incredibly.
Listen, the high school, back in the 60s, what was that in high school? We did always did 5 and 2.
Well, just so you know, I still remember that I played at Page High School in Greensboro, North Carolina. We had trouble with our lights. I remember playing matches, and we pulled all the cars up and hit the headlights.
Yeah.
We were doing practices and things like that with the headlights going onto the courts.
Yeah.
Matches.
That's probably it'd be some lawsuit. Somebody.
What if the college done for doubles? Haven't they gone down the line?
They're getting ready to really
dumb down.
Is it 6 games?
They're trying to go to 6 games. Yeah.
No ad scoring 6 games.
No ad scoring 6 set, and it's laughable.
Yeah. What do you say about how more doubles?
Well, what it says is that we have people. Look, who does it benefit? We have teams and coaches that want immediate parity without forehands and backhands being better. Think about it. If you make it short in format, I mean, you could load it up. Anybody can win that. And people say that's good. It's not. It really, again, you champion the weak, you weaken our real champions. And so that's what's going on.
Yeah, but you've also got Coach. And tennis match is a long time. Come on now, guys.
Be honest.
Don't you think some of you coaches,
Are you being facetious?
No, I'm not. Because some of you coaches, I know coaches that I've worked with a lot of programs. I know coaches that enjoy the fact that the match ends quicker. They're not out there for 3 or 4 hours and get done. You think the parents would enjoy it more? I think the kids would enjoy. This is what the people who are in charge that are changing on. This is what they're thinking. They're thinking that it's going to be more enjoyable.
Yeah, right. There are some coaches.
I mean, that's what they do, right? Am I right?
We're going to play a pro eight, and you're like, I'm driven an hour.
With these abbreviated formats, Coach, my wife, she's our referee. She loves it. We're not out here at 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night. The things that I did when I was a kid.
Well.
She's gone. She's at home by 8 o'clock, you know, in bed or whatever.
We don't have people, you know, it's not the chef now. It's a microwave oven. You know, I mean, we don't have the quality for a reason. If we had 20 players in the top 100 in the world, I might say, wow, maybe they're onto something. Or if the numbers spoke for something. But when your boat is sinking, you don't poke more holes in the boat. That's what we're doing.
This is kind of where I come from, that tennis has become so expensive to play.
Yep.
Sure.
Well, that lends itself to this. Okay, so Coach, your idea here, guys, can you get them to commit to the 3 months that y'all have them? Now he's wanting to get you for another 3 months. That's 6 months. these points per round that the USTA has the kids
no,
play
the
tournament
No, the individual is optional. The individual will be optional. They don't have to. You get them commit for 2 months.
Do you think they would play? Do you think you would your kids?
If it was a good activity,
would they
they'd
participate?
Play.
Would the athletic director pay for it?
Athletic director wouldn't pay for it. They wouldn't pay. They barely pay for
it. Would it cost the schools? How do they look at that, Jeannie?
A teacher ain't going to do it if they aren't getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that was just the fashion.
I used to be a lot of volunteer coaches in there, but it's.
But now, do you realize now to be a volunteer coach, you even have to go?
What does it entail? I want to know, and I think this is good. To be a volunteer coach or to be a coach.
To be a volunteer coach for Fulton County, first of all, you have to drive all the way down to Fulton County, go full background check, everything. Then you have to go to class.
Fingerprinting. It was no big deal.
Yeah.
And then I have to take a coaching class. That
was
a weekend, and then another weekend I had to take a first aid class, which is
kind of
weird because my two real coaches
haven't
had to do anything.
Well, now, we have to have a background check to be a teacher and fingerprint, so that's,
yeah.
We have that anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have to be CPR certified,
yeah.
So, which includes first aid.
They have
yeah.
one more coaching class.
They have one more coaching
Plus,
class.
Plus, they have a fee they have to pay. It's gone up. I think it's, what, $300 now. $300 you pay.
To be a volunteer coach?
Yeah, because this...
Are you kidding me?
It's a moneymaker. There we go.
Yeah.
Here's what happens.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I cannot make money on the bus.
Yeah.
So the lessons I was given...
Are you kidding me?
No. Well, I can make it on the bus, but not the bus.
So they really don't want volunteer coaches. It doesn't fit the system.
Absolutely.
Right.
No
doubt.
It
doesn't fit the system.
Yeah, it makes...
And there's a
and
fear.
The thing is, they figured... Look, these things that you have to do, all this regulation. I remember at Clemson, my 31st year, they instituted that we had to go take a driving test to drive those 15-passenger vans. Now, there's some, okay, all right. Well, we went out in a parking lot, drove around cones. I'd driven 8 billion miles in a van before, and we went around this, and the test was like, give me a break. I mean, it's just stupid, you know. And so afterwards, I realized, well, why'd they do this? They did this because if something happened, they could say, no, no, our coach is certified. It's on them. So it's a liability thing. They do all these things with you, make you do all these regulations, not because it's good for you. They do it because they want to be able to wash their hands of any liability if something happens, you know. And it's a moneymaker. $300 to do that? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Pay?
Well, there's a
those people need
too.
To go. Hey, whoever's doing that, you need to go to confession.
Yeah.
There's a fee for coaches too. It's just your county paying.
Let's all do right. one thing yeah. real quick as we're starting to close this off.
All right.
You know how they do on ESPN? They go around the horn. So raise your hand when we go. We're gonna start with you, Coach. We're gonna go around. You get a parting comment, last parting comment.
I'll do it. I want,
and then we're
going to
go
ask,
here.
People didn't get to ask any other questions. You got it. Anything? Anything?
I have tons. I mean, I have like tennis questions.
Okay.
Well, we'll do that.
I mean, not
this was. We've been talking tennis politics, folks. We got off of the tennis. Okay.
Well, let's go around the horn on the last comment on the politics. Last, you know,
let's
just make a comment
right.
on
the do things right, always, but they have to do right. They have to be right things. Wrong things done right is not what we're after. We're after right things done wrong first, and then right things become done right. Become done right. Is that right? Wrong. Okay.
Anything?
No.
Anything, Coach?
Not at this time.
Not at this time. How about you, Coach? I like the idea of the high school grand slam events.
Let's maybe have a grand slam of high school tennis
that.
In every state. Wow, that would be something, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be something. And then maybe have it work its way up to an apex.
A national.
You know,
no,
a
you
national,
could have.
National
type. Think about it.
Regions.
If you did it in all the state, you could have the Southerns then, and then you could have the national high school champion. Would that be cool to have a national high school champion?
And yet the only way they could compete is if they played on their high school team.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they have to play on their high school team, and then individual is optional. It would be I hate mandates, but that would be.
But that would encourage they had to play on high school.
That's right.
All right, coaches, thanks for participating. This has been great. This has been the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Check in here with us every Tuesday at noon and listen to another great coach talk about what makes their program a success.
No!